Hello, I'm Elizabeth, an obsessive backyard gardener who might be able to offer you a couple of tips.
And I'm Keith, a landscape consultant, and I'm also passionate about gardening.
The one thing we both have in common is
muddy boots.
We're now a few weeks into autumn, so at that perfect time to talk about spring flowering bulbs, those beautiful flowers that give us that first burst of spring colour as the chills of winter begin to fade. The best time to plant spring bulbs is between April and May in Australia, so today we're going to discuss everything you need to know about autumn bulb planting in preparation for a fabulous spring bulb display in your garden. Now, I'm looking forward to planting a mass of daffodils under my plum and apple trees this year. Keith, that's what I've thought about. What about you?
I'm going to plant blood lilies, but I've already planted garlic.
Oh, yes,
so they're my bulbs. And the reason I'm doing garlic bulbs is because I can eat them.
And what about
I love them.
What about the blood lilies?
The blood lilies I can't eat, but they've got big, beautiful big leaves that look like they could lick you to death.
And then they've got those beautiful red, bold red flowers.
Sensational.
Absolutely amazing.
So what's so good about a bulb?
You're going to tell me.
No, well, what's so good about a bulb? Well, a bulb is going to produce flowers from last year's energy that it has stored up.
Yes.
So
if you've looked after them properly.
Yeah, yeah, and that's right. And if you've bought from a nice, reputable grower and the bulbs will be dormant when you get them, you make sure that you put as much goodness as you can into the soil, so lots and lots of compost.
Yes.
Lots of things like Monash rock dust and biochar, all the things that we rabble on about all the time. So you've got to make sure that your soils are really, really well prepared if you want to get a good session next year and the year after and the year after.
But after a couple of years, you do need to change them, I think, because you know, the flowers don't produce quite as many flowers. Well, that's what I found.
Yeah.
This is 4 or 5 years into it. Perhaps partly because I've covered them with something else as well.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, I mean, bulbs are things that will come up. They'll produce their leaves first, and those leaves are then taking the sugars through photosynthesis in order to store and get bigger bulbs or multiply or colonise.
As can somewhat do.
Yep. So they're storing all that energy while those leaves are out, and then once they've got to a certain stage where they've got enough energy for next year's flowering, they will then produce their flowers for that particular time.
Multiply. Now, what about? Let's go back to where spring bulbs can be used. What sort of garden situations? They obviously add colour to gaps in the garden before perennials start to put on their new growth. So there are so many gaps through beginning of spring, winter and the beginning of spring, that they actually fill those gaps, which is lovely. I think they look amazing in pots. So they're great for a display. If you put a whole lot of different bulbs together in pots, they look great. And they look great under the base, as I said, of a deciduous tree, which is what I'm going to do. And you can also even grow them in a vase inside.
You can indeed.
I've never tried that, but you've got to have a particular shaped vase. Have you tried that?
No, I haven't.
Why not?
I don't know.
Okay. When it comes to choosing bulbs, colour is one of the main considerations, and with such an enormous variety of bulbs and colours to choose from, it is a very good idea to think about what colours will complement your garden before actually going out and purchasing them, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Have a bit of a plan.
So, yeah. So, I've seen some magnificent displays of daffodils, which have naturally colonised in a woodland sort of a scene.
Naturalised. They're called naturalised.
Naturalised.
Yeah.
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 That, you know, and they just look absolutely sensational through this woodland area underneath trees that haven't produced their leaves yet. So you've got these splashes of colour happening in through there. And, you know, and the daffodils and jonquils, the colours are just that beautiful, happy yellow colour, which just makes you feel good when you walk there and look at it.
And after going through winter where you're all a bit, everything's a bit grey, then to see them popping up through the ground is just magnificent. What is the best position to plant bulbs in? How much sun do they generally need? It's quite a lot.
Not a lot. No,
not a lot.
No, not a lot. I mean, they're generally doing all their work during the period when the other trees, if you plant them underneath trees, deciduous trees, when they've lost their leaves. So they're getting enough sunlight. And once again, like garlic, they're looking for the infrared lights rather than the ultraviolets. Mm. So they don't need that full sunlight. But they're getting enough energy from the sun underneath a deciduous tree through their leaves, and then once they've got those leaves up and great, then they'll produce the flowers.
Okay.
And then once that's happened, then they'll go into dormancy until next year.
Yep, okay. There are, I believe, some bulbs that require more sun than others.
There are, yeah.
I mean, I've got a list here in front of me of ones that really would prefer full sun, and then I've got some that are quite happy in, like, need 2 to 3 hours of sun, full sun, but, you know, that's enough for them.
Yep.
And that's things like anemones. Dutch crocus, daffodils, bluebells, Cuban lilies, hyacinths, you know, they're the ones that can handle a little less sun.
Yes.
But there are, you know, the others probably as much sun as they can get.
Yeah. Even things such as ranunculus, you know, they require a fair amount of sun there as well.
Yes.
Another beautiful flowering plant that I love, which flowers through the summer months from a bulb, and that's Liatris.
Right.
And I've got spicata at home, and it's just absolutely superb. And you get and that's a late summer flowering bulb, which is beautiful.
I'll have to look that one up. Now you can also plant bulbs in rockeries.
Yes,
there are things like Dutch iris, rock tulips, rain lilies, grape hyacinths.
Mm.
So they're really good in, you know, to plant in between rocks because they can sort of find.
And they're also, the grape hyacinth's also a beautiful one to bring into the house because the perfume from that is just stunning.
That's true. And those, when we're talking about naturalising, those bulbs can be left to flower happily by themselves for a few years. And that was like you were talking about the daffodils, Dutch iris, freesias are gorgeous, watsonias, which I haven't tried, but apparently they're fantastic like that.
Yeah, they are. Just be going to be very, very mindful of watsonias because they can become somewhat weedy in certain varieties.
Okay.
But there's other beautiful ones such as crocosmias. They're just stunning. Diorama, which is a beautiful weeping bulby plant, just superb.
Ixias,
which, you know, there's a beautiful white with a blue ixia, which is just stunning. So, you know, so they've got some of the most showy looking flowers that, you know, you don't need a lot of them, you know, and that's where they're fabulous for small gardens because the impact is just enormous.
Yeah, for that short, not very long time, I suppose it's good. Okay, let's get down to the nitty gritty bit, the planting.
Yeah.
I personally think bulbs look more effective when planted en masse rather than in dribs and drabs. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I do. I said I've just put a whole heap of blood lilies in. So
Where have you put them?
They're in the front yard where I used to have some Senecio, but my oldest son drove his car over them. They became rather flat.
Did he? When did you
do
that?
Thanks, Blake.
So
I pulled the flat Senecio out and I've planted them along there because I figure that we'll only invite him up when they're dormant.
Okay, good idea. Put a fence up, Keith. Put a hedge up, Keith. You like your hedges?
I do like hedges.
Okay,
so... So the blood lilies are in... So what I've done is I've made sure that I've prepared the soil really, really well. So there's lots of compost in there. And then I've top-dressed them with a beautiful bit of organic food. So they love blood and bone.
Mm.
So I put that over the top. Mm-hmm. And that's what they'll take in this year for their flowering for next year.
Oh, gosh, your plants are so lucky. They get so much wonderful attention. And they get the right attention. They know what they're... You know what to... put in. That's what we're doing the podcast for, so that everyone can learn.
Hopefully.
I'm trying to retain all of this. It's quite hard. Okay, so would you if we're going to plant them en masse, how do you do that? Do you remove the top layer of soil and then put the bulbs in, or do you have a special bulb planter
that you use?
Oh, you do.
Yeah, I do.
Is that electric or battery?
No, it's just a hand one. It's nothing that works on my power kit. It's just a hand one. So it's just a bulb planter.
Okay.
So I just make sure that it's going into really, really good soil. So with a bulb planter, you know, you just whack it in the ground, turn it around, put a bit of compost in the bottom, whack the bulb in, and then cover it up. But, you know, there's...
And add a label.
And
I keep pushing these
add
labels.
Yeah.
Because I forget.
But there was, you know, my favourite garden designer, Edna Walling, she had a wonderful method for sowing her bulbs. She would just pick up handfuls of them and throw them up in the air, and where they landed... was where that she would go and dig the hole and put them in, which was, you know, I mean, it's just a wonderful random way of doing
it.
And then you can have lots of different types of bulbs all being colonised in these
little
areas.
That would look like a good wildflower, wild bulb garden.
Exactly.
That sounds lovely. okay, when it comes to choosing them, they've got to be large. You've got to make sure they're big, healthy bulbs.
You know the best thing to do when you pick up a bulb?
Yeah.
Give it a squeeze.
Okay.
And make sure it's not soft.
Yeah.
It's got to be as hard as they come.
Yeah. Okay. Now, we have to plant them twice as deep.
Exactly.
As the bulb is tall.
That's right.
Correct?
Yep, and that applies to just about everything, including seeds.
Yes, that's true. That's very true. Which end is up, Keith?
Well, in actual fact, it doesn't. If you're really quite hopeless in the garden, it wouldn't matter. If you planted them upside down, that bulb will still know it'll do a U-turn and go all the way up to the surface.
Okay.
It knows what it's doing. It knows that it's not going to grow down all the way through to China or whatever else. It's going to eventually turn itself around and come up.
Good.
So, but if you want them not to expend useless energy doing that, always plant them with the pointy end facing up.
Except anemones and ranunculi.
They're a bit different in terms of what they look like. So some of those look like little spiders, for instance.
Okay. And they apparently, they're the other way around.
It is. You can plant them with their spiky bits up.
Okay. Now, I can't stress it enough, but garden labels are really, really important because I mean, unless you're Edna Walling and you're throwing them around and you just can't be bothered, I would have to have garden labels, definitely. Do we fertilise the bulbs as soon as they're in the ground? What with and how often? What do we do?
Okay, so we make sure that when you've planted them, you put the compost in first.
Yes.
That's the first thing.
Yes.
Then you need to then give them a top dressing of something as they're starting to come to life, because that is what's going to feed them for next year's flowers.
Yes, okay. What are we using?
Well, I always go for something organic. I never use any of these granular fertilizer or anything. So yeah. I would use something like any of the Nutroc products, for instance.
Yes.
I think it's just sensational.
Okay.
But even Blood and Bone or some handfuls of Rooster Booster or
Chukmin.
Just though. Something easy, you know, okay. Something that's going to smell nicely for the neighbours.
Yes. How much water do they need?
Initially, they don't need much at all, because once they've gone in, their root system is dormant and they will set off a new root system. So they're using the energy that's in the bulb to produce a new root system, and then that all you need to do in that sort of situation is ensure that they're kept moist. So not sitting in
water.
Wet, boggy soil because they will rot.
Yep.
So once again, if you've got that sort of a soil scenario, lift them, you know, raise them up in little mounds and plant them into the top.
Okay. And then once the shoots appear, should we be making sure to water, you know, keeping the water up?
Keep the water up to them, yeah.
Yeah, you know, okay.
But once again, use your finger. And the other thing, when they're producing their new shoots, this is the time that you would want to be making sure that there are no little mongrel snails and slugs around, because they love these new shoots that are coming out. That is just like...
I know, you know, watered off, and I was going to say, not watered off a duck's back, whatever. Oh, that makes it so, and they're so annoying, aren't they? So we have to end up covering them with things all the time.
Sometimes.
Oh, it's naughty snails. Do you have any tips for planting them in pots?
If you're going to plant
what sort of pots?
Terracotta pots are sometimes the best ones for bulbs, because they're going to... keep a more constant sort of a temperature rather than a black pot that's going to draw hot heat, dry the soil out, dry the roots off, and kill them that way. So terracotta pots will suck in moisture and they take longer to dry out.
Okay.
But what you've got to ensure is that those bulbs, if they're in pots and they've got a potting mix, they've got a good draining mechanism in the bottom.
How do we do that?
Water to get out. You've used a premium potting mix.
Always with this Australian standards tick.
Yeah, not a $2.99 packet of rubbish.
From the supermarket
or from anywhere else.
Yeah. So just use a premium potting mix.
Premium
you don't put anything else
mix,
in the bottom.
No, and then you can put a light dressing of mulch over the top of that.
Yeah. Okay.
For them to come through.
When they have been planted in the pots, do we have to remove them after they've flowered? Will they again... flower again the following year?
They will again, providing you've been feeding them throughout the whole. If you haven't been feeding them, you're not going to get a return on the following year.
Okay.
Sort of like tulips in the old days with tulips, and tulips became the most sought after plant in the world. They were worth
thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for all these things. And here in Australia, what they used to do with the tulip bulbs was after they'd finished flowering, and the leaves had died back, and that is the key. Don't ever lift a bulb out of the ground until the leaves have died back.
That was my next question.
Sorry. But then with tulips, you can actually lift those out and put them into the vegetable crisper in the fridge, and they can store them in there.
They stay there. That much.
They'll go into dormancy.
Okay, then. So as I said, that was going to be my next question. What do we do? What is the actual process when it comes to the end of flowering? We leave the foliage, don't touch the foliage,
touch
and
it.
Keep watering.
Yes.
And fertilise.
Yes. And you just let the leaves dry off, and they'll go totally brown.
Yep.
And then you can, if you need to lift them, to put them in somewhere else, or you want to dig them up and divide them.
Yes. Do that then.
Do you do that,
which
that
one, as soon as, it, as soon as all the, everything's dying.
Everything's
off.
Finished
okay.
because that's next year's flower.
Okay. And so you mentioned storing. If we do remove them. We store tulips in the fridge, as you said, but we don't store all of our bulbs in the fridge, do we?
They're best stored in a hessian bag.
A hessian
if you've
bag,
got one,
paper bag, whatever, yeah,
or a burlap bag.
Okay, in a dry, dark
spot.
Okay,
and if you're going to be doing that, just don't forget them.
Oh, yeah, no, that's another note for your calendar, everybody. How do we remove them without damaging them? Fork. Get the fork in. Don't pull them out.
Yeah, always fork them, and try to fork them away from the bulb itself. So you're not damaging the bulb, because if you damage the bulb, that's where disease is going to get in,
okay.
and then you're going to ruin them.
So fork
them out of the ground. Always fork them,
okay.
including garlic. Fork them out.
Yes, that's true. Thanks, Keith. I think with some good basic care, spring bulbs will perform beautifully and are a great way to celebrate spring by adding some gorgeous colour to the garden.
Colour, colour, colour.
We love it. Thank you for listening to Muddy Boots. For more information on today's podcast, please go to muddyboots.net.au, and happy gardening.